Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Welcome to Christmas at Victory. We're so glad you guys are here with us. So I couldn't wait till next Sunday to start talking about Christmas and have a Christmas message for you. Is that all right? So I had to start this way. I love Christmas time. It's my favorite time of the year. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of really great Christmas memories, you know, good ones and bad ones, but they're Christmas memories. You know, they're all exciting in one way or the other. One year, my grandma was about 4'10", and she was sitting by the rocking chair next to the Christmas tree, and my cat was a little rambunctious. So all the way from across the living room, he comes running at the tree, and kind of like Elf, you've seen that scene where he tries to put the star on the top, and he bounces off the couch. That's what my cat did, except pushing the tree towards my grandma. So all you see is like the tree collapsing on my grandma. That was an awesome Christmas memory, more so now than at the time. But one of my absolute favorite Christmas memories was in 2001. I went on December 21st that year. I went on my very last first date with my now wife, Heather. That was our first date. And so that was a great Christmas. We went to see the Nutcracker, and it was awesome, and the rest, as they say, is history. So Christmas, I love Christmas time. I know you guys have awesome Christmas memories, too. But today, I've got a great word for you guys, and I was thinking this morning, you know, how many of y'all ever been through a struggle before? Yep. Is it just me?
No.
I was thinking this morning, and just about how good the Lord is, that even in the midst of our struggle, we don't have to lose everything. We don't have to lose self-control. We don't have to lose peace. That even in the midst of a storm and things aren't working right, you know, then we still can have peace. We can still have victory in the middle of the storm. You know, I love what my friend Steve shared this morning. He didn't know some of the things that we were dealing with this morning and this week, but thought his word was so great that just because we face some opposition doesn't mean that we're going the wrong direction. It probably means that we're going the right direction because we're taking territory back from where the enemy has held it before. We're taking things that used to belong to us. He came along, took it. We're taking them back, and he doesn't like what we're doing. So, of course, whenever we start moving the right direction, there's going to be opposition. So that's why Scripture says, count it all joy when you face trials and tribulation, right? Because it's the testing of your faith that's going to produce endurance in you. Sorry, this isn't my message, but it's just coming. It's just where it is this morning. So I just want to encourage somebody with that this morning. Man, if you're facing something difficult, don't give up. Don't tuck tail and run. Stand your ground. Scripture says that when the enemy comes in, that like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against it. That means that God is there fighting for you and fighting with you. He's not just left you out there and been like, all right, have fun. I'll see you later. No, God is with you. He's actually fighting for you. So, man, I just encourage you to stand strong and don't give up because you're going to make it. Yeah. But that's why it's so important to be linked with people who are running your direction. If you're trying to stand and you're facing a difficult fight and the people you're connected to are running, it's going to be real hard for you to stand. If the people connected to you are fearful and afraid when you're facing something that, you know, is trying to take you out, then it's going to be real hard not to be fearful. So that's why, man, it's so important who we surround ourselves with. So, man, that's why I love connect groups, because in my life, in my connect group, I'm surrounded by people who are encouraging me or speaking life into me, who are pushing me in the right direction so that when I come up against a difficult thing, man, they've got my back. So I encourage you to do the same. Find a group of people to run with. Find that group of people to do life with. Amen. Well, the word of the Lord for us today is this, I am a minister. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a minister.
I am a minister.
Now let's try to look to your second choice and say with a little more convincingly, say, I am a minister.
I am a minister.
That's right. That's right. And I say that because you're not looking at the only minister at Victory.
Okay.
Some of you are like, say what? See, because sometimes we get confused on what ministry really is, and we think that, well, wait, I'm not a minister. Hold on, Pastor. I don't work at the church. I work at this other place. But I don't want you to confuse your skills and abilities and where you work with your divine assignment that God has for you. See, in Scripture, ministry is is not actually how we understand it today. In our culture, we understand ministry as the guy who works at the church, the pastor, right? We even have fancy words that aren't even biblical terms that were made up for people in the quote-unquote ministry, right? Like the clergy, right? That would be like a pastor like myself. I would be called a clergy. But do you know that's not even a biblical term? That literally, that word, if you trace it all the way back, like comes from the word cleric or somebody who could read. So, hey, congratulations, I can read, you know, and, you know, the words that they came up with for people who weren't clergy weren't even better. There was layman. That's people in the church. So, you know, that's a terrible term. Layman, like, because I'm just laying around. Like, where did you come up with the word layman? But what they would do in the old church is that the priests, the clergy, would read the Bible, would read God's word to the people, and the people would be like, that's great, thank you, and head out. Right. But see, that's not the gospel. That's not what God has called us to do. So today I want to look at this topic of I'm a minister. And I know you're wondering, how is this have to do with Christmas? I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. So we're going to start this morning in this part of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. I'm going to read it to you. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terrified. I would be a little afraid too. Come on. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. You know, God is interested in the details. If you ever wondered, you just got to read one page of the Bible and you'll see detail. God knows all the little details of your life. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the heavens and peace on earth to whoever his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Man, what a beautiful picture of Christ's birth. Isn't that an amazing picture? And we love the Christmas story. We all know that passage pretty well, right? The shepherds and the angels were in the heavens and they were singing, you know, and it was Handel's Messiah behind them, right? And it's this beautiful picture that we have in our minds. But sometimes in this familiarity we have with Scripture, we kind of gloss over things that God can speak to us. So I want to highlight that one scripture where it says, after they had seen the child, they did what? They spread the word. Yeah. See, God is the originator of the message. He's the originator, but he's not the one spreading the word. That's us. That's you. Look at your neighbor again and say, I'm a minister. Oh, that was sad. Look at your other neighbor and tell him like you want to convince him. Say, I'm a minister. That sounded better. That sounded better. I love you guys. It's good to have fun in church. Is that good? Matt and Greg, they were funny. I like those guys. But see, this was the greatest news ever. The most important message that ever had to be told. And for some reason, God saw fit to entrust some random guys out in a field that smelled real bad, that were working the night shift, right, that nobody else cared about or probably knew their names. And these are the guys that God entrusted to spread the message about Jesus being born. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. There's so much darkness in our world today, isn't there? Yeah. But it's amazing what a little bit of light will do, yeah. Right? Just a little bit. You know, like when you're in your house at night and it's bedtime and you turn off all the lights. Does anybody else have a nightlight? Anybody else? I'll raise my hand for everybody. Because sometimes you just need to see where you're going, right? A little bit of light changes the atmosphere. And that's what we are. It goes on in verse 16. It says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, you let your deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. See, this is from the Beatitudes where Jesus was speaking to the multitudes. He wasn't speaking at seminary. He wasn't, you know, giving a message in a church. He was speaking to people, anyone who would listen. Hey, you people, let your light shine. But too many times we hide our light. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine, right? We're not supposed to hide our light. We got to let our light shine. That's what we're called to be. At Victory, we say it this way. The church doesn't exist for us. Why? We are the church, and we exist for the world. We are the church. We exist for the world. So if you're looking for a church where you can come in and you can sit in your nice little chair with your cup of coffee and get some spiritual fuzzies going on, you know what I mean, and feel good about yourself and check off your box for the day and then go out like you found the wrong church. Can I just be honest with you? I hope that stuff can happen to you, and I hope it does, but that's just the beginning point. That's not the ending point. See, that's not where God wants you to live and camp out. That's just the beginning point where you're going to experience God this first way. You're like, wow, that's amazing. And then you begin to take another step and you experience God another way. And you begin to take the next step and you begin to experience God in a deeper, more intimate way. And you know him more, not just because you've come to feel good about yourself. Oh, that was so nice. Good job, Pastor. Thanks for the message. Right? That's not what it's about, y'all. We are ministers. I'm not the only minister. We're all ministers, because the truth is I can't get it done by myself. And honestly, I'm not called to get it done by myself. See, there's people in your life that I'll never meet. And God didn't put them in my life for a reason, because he put them in your life. And he called you to reach them. He put the good news inside of you. He put his anointing and his power and his spirit inside of you. In Romans 8, it says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in the pastor. It does dwell in me. It says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It dwells in you, not just me. See, I don't have a special pastor access to God that you don't have. I don't have like a secret, you know, method or way that I get to God that's any different than the way anybody else would get to God or talk to God or pray with God. I don't have a special connection that you don't have, right? See, we're called to change this world. That's what I love about this church, is that we exist for the world. That's why we have things like the Hope Truck. And yesterday we took the Hope Truck out, and man, I got to give you guys a good report. We had our biggest Hope Truck outreach yesterday that we've ever had. Man, it was awesome. And it was our Christmas gift giveaway, and we gave gifts to all these kids there in the neighborhood, and bags of groceries and turkeys to families and hams. It was amazing, you guys. And it's, you know, all glory to Jesus. And I thank you guys for the generosity. So many people gave gifts and food and all that stuff so that we could make a difference in the lives of people and allowing people in that moment to receive Christ. There was two parents there that accepted Christ while we were right there. Come on. I'll do that every day of the week if that is the result. And so, man, it was awesome. But that's why we do that, because we want to go out into the community, share the love of Jesus, and help connect people to their purpose. So, man, get on our Facebook page and check out some of the pictures, because seeing those kids' faces when they get their gifts, my goodness, if that doesn't do something to you, you got to wake up. I'm telling you what, seeing those kids' faces and getting their gifts, and some of them were asking, there was a couple like, can I save this till Christmas? I was like, yeah. I mean, all the other kids were open, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to put it under the tree, because that's all that's there. Come on. We exist for them. We exist for the world. This is not a social club to come hang out in. This is a place where we come to worship the Lord. We gather together. But there, see, we shouldn't just come here by ourselves. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. But there should be several times throughout the year that you should have someone who doesn't know the Lord right next to you in your seat. I know it's your seat and you save it and you sit in the same one every week. It's all right. But there should be several times a year where that's happening. And we honestly design several of the things we do, the series that we do throughout the year, for that purpose. Like at the movies. That's really not just for us to watch movies in church. That's so that when we bring somebody that doesn't know Christ, that they can experience him in a way that they might not before. See, it's opportunities. And same thing at Christmas. There's a study that was done that said that of unchurched people, that said if someone personally invited them to church, how likely would they be to come to church? And 57% said, yeah, I would come to church if someone just invited me. 57%. Come on, y'all. Come on, say, I'm a minister.
I am a minister.
Come on, are you getting it this morning? Yeah. Nudge your neighbor, tell them, I'm a minister. See, and it's at this point where we're talking about this stuff and people are like, well, isn't that a lot of extra work that you guys have to do with the Hope truck? Yeah. Isn't it expensive? And you guys got put, you know, giving up my Saturday and a couple hours. I mean, yeah. I don't think I can do that. I think if I were to, you know, to be a light at my work, people might look at me funny. Or it might be embarrassing for me to talk to the, you know, the grocery store clerk while I'm standing there. I that's fine. You can go that way. But it's just, you know, it's just a bummer for the lost people in your life if you're going to take that attitude. Bummer for those people going to hell that God put in your path. And I'm just embarrassed to share my light. Or, you know, I don't want to give up my Saturday, you know, to give out to people in the, you know, community. So bummer for them. No, guys, we gotta look at this the other side. God has put people in our lives specifically planned for us to be here at this period of history to reach people for Christ. I want to stir up your faith this morning. I don't know if it's family members that you're believing God for. I don't know if it's people at your work. Sometimes it's people that you haven't met before and you're in the store and God brings somebody across your path to be a light to them. And see, I don't want you to get confused in being a light. It means that you have to right there in the freezer section, you know, have a service and lead somebody to Christ. Because it doesn't always look that way. It looks a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's just inviting somebody to church. Sometimes it's just encouraging somebody. Be like, hey, how are you doing today? Man, I like that shirt. I like that sweater. Hey, you have an awesome smile. Did you know that? Sometimes, man, people just need to be reminded that they're important. And it opens the door of their heart, right? Man, I always when I'm at a restaurant, man, that's another captive audience. I love a captive audience. Like at the grocery store, you know, you got 2 minutes with the clerk, you know, more if you're buying a lot of groceries, right? They got to be nice to you. Same with your waitress or waiter, you know, they got to be nice to you while you're serving the food. So I'm going to tell them everything I can, you know, inviting them to church, leaving them a good tip. And then I'm going to, if you're not going to leave a good tip, don't say anything about church. Right. I'm going to leave them an invite card, whatever it takes. And, you know, I'm going to be a light. I'm going to wear my I Love My Church shirt, my victory shirt. And then I got to remember to be nice when I'm out. Right. I can't argue with the manager, especially then. Right. Got to be a light everywhere we go because we are the ones carrying the good news. And I want to read this scripture to you this morning from Isaiah chapter 60. And it's really a prophetic word that God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And I want you to listen, but not just listen with your ears. I want it to soak into your hearts this morning because I believe God is speaking this to us. It's Isaiah chapter 60. It says this. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises on you and his glory appears over you, and nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. See, here he's saying, arise, wake up, get up and do something. Because that word glory right there, where it's talking about the glory of the Lord rests on you. That word glory literally means the fullness of who God is. The fullness of who God is with you. That means his anointing, his power, his spirit, his presence, his peace, his joy, all of that, his boldness, all of that is with you. It rests on you. Why? Because there's darkness in the earth. This is the darkest in history that we've ever been. Isn't the dark darker than we've ever seen before? Man, there's crazy stuff going on. And I hate seeing all the crazy stuff going on there. But sometimes I think we're praying about it the wrong way, trying to pray that it would be removed from us and that we would be moved away from it. But in fact, God has ordained this time in history for us to be here and put us at this specific time. I'm going to show it to you in scripture in just a minute, but I want to awaken us this morning that we would be a church on mission, that we would be a church in motion, not just sitting back, hey, you know, but we are a church that is actively taking people out of hell and bringing them into kingdom. Man, we're going to go whip some hell, yeah. Right? We're going to go out there and see, the scripture says that Jesus will build the church and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. We don't have to be afraid when the enemy comes against us and attacks us and begins to push back a little bit. Man, we're going to push because the greater one lives in us. Come on, y'all. Can we get excited about that this morning? Come on. So I want to give us a few things in this statement this morning. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this statement down, if you would. And say, I'm a minister with a specific purpose. That's right. See, this is the amazing thing about God, is that he's not this random, like, just going to take a spray gun and see where it lands. God is a God of order, a divine destiny. And it says, the Bible says that he has dispersed gifts and abilities among his people. That means not all of us should try to be a pastor. Isn't that good to know? Not all of us need to be worship leader. Not all of us need to be, you know, leading the prayer team or leading the outreach team. Not all of us need to be in kids ministry, but more of us should, because the next generation is where it's at, right? Not all of us have the same gifts. Not all of us have the same abilities. God has actually given each of us different abilities, different gifts, and he's placed us in different spheres of influence. See, God has specifically designed and created you for exactly where you are so that you can accomplish his purpose to make a difference in the people around you. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. Imagine what your body would be like if your heart didn't know its purpose. You'd be just sitting up on that chair all dead, like, right? Because if your heart didn't know that it was supposed to pump the blood, you'd be getting that tingly in your toes and all, you know, when your leg falls asleep and you're like, oh my gosh, right? It feels like 1,000 daggers in your foot. You guys know what I'm talking about. If your heart didn't know what was happening, you would look like a mess, right? There was a study done a few years ago that said that 87% of people in church don't know their purpose. 87%. So that's almost 9 out of 10 of us don't know our purpose. And then we wonder why it's hard for the church to do things. Y'all, God has a divine purpose for our lives. And we have to discover what that is. You know, when God made you, he already had the plan in mind that for your life. He didn't like make you and then be like, what can we do with this one? It's actually the opposite way. God designed a plan. Oh, I want this to happen. I'm going to make Pastor Justin, and I'm going to put these gifts, and I'm going to put these abilities, and I'm going to put these muscles in there and all these things. So God had a plan for Pastor Justin, and then he made Pastor Justin. Isn't that good to know that all of your days are ordained? There's nothing accidental, or your life was on purpose. How many of you guys know who Elvis Presley is? Elvis Presley. If you don't know who Elvis Presley is, then you're young and you need to ask your parents. But Elvis, he died in 1977, 40 years ago, of obesity and a life of drug use. But he was the king of rock and roll in his day. He really kind of helped revolutionize rock and roll. And he sold over 1 billion with a B albums. 1 billion albums. 1 billion is a lot of anything. I don't care. He was in over 33 movies. The dude was famous and he was rich. And you would think that with all of his success that he was happy and fulfilled. But honestly, he wasn't. After he died, his wife was in an interview and she said this. She said, Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a different reason. Maybe to preach. Maybe to serve. Maybe to save. Maybe to care for people. Does that sound familiar? The agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he would go on stage so he wouldn't have to think about it. Wow. Crazy, right? And I wonder how many of us go through our lives that way. Go about our day just working a job, you know, raising our kids, you know, trying to make sure everything's done right. And we get to the end and we're like, what was it all about? What am I supposed to be doing? What is really mattering in life? See, the only thing that really matters is what we send ahead of us to heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So you know right there, you are created to do good things, which God prepared in advance for you to do. God prepared your life before you were ever born, before you were ever made. So you are a minister on purpose with a specific purpose. You're not one in a million. You're one of a kind. There's nobody else like you. God has a plan for your life. I'm a minister with a specific purpose. Write this one down. At an opportune time. At an opportune time. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I don't want to hear God say to me, hey, what else did you want? I gave you all these resources. I put you in the best period of history with all this technology. You can constantly, instantly communicate with anyone at any point on the globe. I put you in America. Not everyone gets to live there. I made you handsome and good looking and all this stuff. What else did you want? I'm glad nobody laughed at that part. Thanks, guys. Made me feel good, right? But God put us at this specific point in time and history. Let me read it to you this way. In Acts 17, verse 26, he says, From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he, God, marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. See, God appointed this time in history for you to be born. This time in history for you to be alive. This time in history for you to be right here in Orlando. It's not by accident that you're here. God appointed this before the dawn of time, that you were to be here with the abilities, with the talents that you have. You are here on purpose, with a purpose at this opportune time. Why would God be so intentional with our lives? Let me tell you, I'm a minister with a specific purpose at an opportune time to make an eternal difference. To make an eternal difference. Band, you guys can come back up. See, we're not here just to do good deeds. It's great. Good deeds are nice, and that's good. We are supposed to do those things, but we're not supposed to just do good deeds. Because if you feed the whole world, you can give the whole world food and teach them to, you know, get rid of hunger and all that kind of stuff. But if they all go to hell, then you lose. Good deeds are not all the same. See, we're not called just to do good deeds. We're called to do good deeds in Jesus' name and bring those people into heaven, right? See, we ourselves have been called out of darkness into the light, to be the light, not to hide our light, not to back up in the shadows and just let everything just go by life and follow the pursuits of everything that there is out there. We're called to be light. God called us out of darkness into his light. He called you into that to go then and spread the light. In scripture, right before Jesus left this earth to go back into heaven, he says to his disciples, go and be my witnesses. Go and be my witnesses. See, a witness, they just tell their side of the story, right? If you think about a courtroom, a witness is just up there answering questions. Well, this is what I saw. This is my side of the story. And sometimes I think when we're talking about letting my light shine and all this stuff that we get kind of, it can get a little messed up in our mind and we can get panicked. What do I do? I don't know all the theological things to say. What do I say? Don't worry about that. God's asked us to be his witnesses. This is what God has done in my life. Man, I was a mess. I was a wreck. I was stuck in addiction and all this stuff. But man, God pulled me out of it. He can do the same for you. I'm just going to tell my side of the story. Maybe I'm not going to lead them to Christ in that moment. But hey, why don't you come to church with me this Sunday? You can find out for yourself. See, we're not supposed to try to twist people's arms or convince them. Scripture even says that it's not even us that does anything to change somebody's life. It's actually the goodness of God displayed in our lives that draws people that way. It's the goodness of God going on in your life. It's the light that's inside of you that draws people to God. Hey, this is what God has done in my life. I was broke. I had nothing. And I gave my life to God. And now, man, I can't keep money away from my life. I can't keep jobs away. I've got it going on because God, man, I'm telling you what. Just be a witness. Tell your side of the story. And God is going to direct your path. I'm praying this week that God is going to bring people across your path. Family members, coworkers, people you don't know. That you're going to have an opportunity to invite. And I'm just praying that you'll be ready, that you'll have that boldness to share your light, to share what God has done in your life. Let's say this all together, this statement all together, and say it convincingly that, you know, maybe you need to convince yourself. I don't know. Maybe you need to convince your spouse. But we're going to say this all together out loud as a church, as a declaration this morning, so that God hears it, so that we hear it, and so that our spiritual enemy, the devil, hears it. Let's say this all together this morning. I am a minister with a specific purpose, at an opportune time, to make an eternal difference. That's right. I want to pray for you this morning because maybe you're here and you're just saying, Pastor, will you pray for me? Because I just need help in that area. I've been struggling in that and I don't know the right things to do, but I want to let my light shine. I want God to use my life to make an eternal difference in the life of somebody else. If that's you, I just want to pray for you this morning. Would you just, right where you are, just lift your hands up all across this room. I want to pray for those this morning. All right. All right. And maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Because I'm just far from the Lord this morning. Say, man, I don't even know who God is, but if there's a God that has this much purpose for my life and he cared enough about me to create me and design me and put me here, man, I want to know who he is. See, scripture tells us that without Jesus coming to the earth and being born as a baby and dying on the cross for us, that there's no way that we could know God. There's no way we could come to him. But Christ, Jesus, he came to this earth. He gave up his place in heaven to come to this earth to be our Savior, to rescue us out of the mess that we were in, because he knew that we could never come to him any other way. That's the good news, is that we don't have to have it all together to come to him. We just can come to him in our mess, when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling down, when we feel discouraged, when we're feeling like he's never going to even care about us anymore, when we feel like we've done too much wrong. We can just come to him, just take one step. And the scripture says that God comes running to us. He draws near to us. It's the most amazing thing that happens. It's a miracle. And when that happens, scripture says that all things are made new. It's that light that comes alive inside of you. It's an internal transformation that begins to happen. So if that's you, you're here this morning saying, I got to have that in my life. Maybe you've prayed that before, but you're just far from God this morning, or you've never made that decision this morning. I just want to give you that opportunity this morning to make that decision. If that's you, would you just lift up your hands all across the room right where you are? I just want to pray with those that are making that decision this morning. Okay. All right. Well, church, let's say this prayer out loud all together this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth for me. Thank you for trading heaven to come down to rescue me from my sin. I give you my life. I give you my heart. All that I have is yours. Let me pray for you this morning. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here, Lord God. I thank you for the light that you put inside of us, Lord God, and that you have made us to be your lights, to be your witness in this world, Lord God, that you've created us and put us here at this specific point in history, because that's the way you designed us. You planned us this way. So God, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're awakening things in us, Lord God, that we are going to arise. We are going to shine, Lord God. I pray right now that your glory, your fullness of who you are, would come upon every person and rest upon every heart that's here, Lord God, that you would begin to awaken this desire in us to be a light, that everywhere we go that we can't keep silent, Lord God, that you're bringing people across our path this week, that you're creating opportunities for us to just speak that encouraging word, Lord God, to be an example, to be a light to those that are lost, Lord God, that in the middle of darkness, Lord, we will shine. We will make a difference in the darkness, Lord God. We won't run and hide from it, Lord, but we will set our light out for all to see, Lord God, that you would be glorified, that people would be drawn to you, Lord God. Not that we would be great, Lord, but you be glorified, Jesus. You be lifted high, Lord God. And so I thank you for it. We give you glory. We give you praise in this place. And all the church said, amen, amen. Do you receive that this morning? All right, good. A few of you receive it. That's good. I'll be praying for the rest of you. Well, this week is the week leading up to Christmas Eve, and it's going to be awesome. And so I want to encourage you, now that you know that you're a minister. You didn't know that you were a minister when you came into church, but now you know you're a minister. And so I want to encourage you this week. I want to help you. These are great tools that you can use that kind of just take the pressure off. You know, you can be in the grocery store, be somewhere at work, and not have to like feel like I've got to have this, you know, moment where we're going to have a service and Pastor Justin's going to come up as the lights dim behind you and play a song while you pray with somebody. It's probably not going to happen. I know where Pastor Justin works, so am I right? It'd be sweet if that happened, right? If you're in your office and can I pray with you and the lights dim and, you know, Pastor Justin and Janae start singing behind you. Right? It just sets the mood, right? That's probably not going to happen in your office. So, man, create moments. Look for those and grab some of these invites like this weekend and find somebody to invite. Be that one that finds the 57% that invites somebody. You invite somebody. Maybe you need to pick them up and let them ride with you in your car. Novel idea, right? Maybe get here early next week, and we'll have the three services, the two morning services, 9:30, 11. There'll be our regular Sunday morning services. And then that evening, we'll have our special carols and candlelight service. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be our greatest Christmas Eve service that we've ever had. It's going to be an amazing weekend. I've got great message for you guys, and I believe God is going to do amazing things. And I promise you this. I promise you this. That those Sundays that you bring that unsaved person with you, your unsaved relative, your unsaved friends, and they're sitting next to you, I give you permission when we all have our head bowed and our eyes closed and, you know, we're there, you know, asking if anybody wants to receive Jesus, I give you permission to kind of like peek at him, right? Kind of nonchalantly though, right? And when you see that hand go up, you're going to say, this was my favorite Sunday ever. Because, see, we have to be about the things that matter to God. We can say, God, I love you, and I just want to love you and be close to you, God. But see, if we really love God, then we're going to love the things that he loves. And he loves people. He loves lost people. That's why we love lost people. So if we want to really love God, we've got to learn to love the things that he loves. Amen?